and gals.
Blog Talk Radio.
The North American Wrestling Connection. For over 50 months, the revolutionary force in talk entertainment.
The North American Wrestling Connection, bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007. Sanctioned by...
I'm on a personal crusade against all things stupid. And Michael Cole, you have been the personification of stupidity since 1997. I would rather listen to a recording of JR than a live Michael Cole.
Oh, boom shakalaka, boom shakalaka, boom shakalaka, boom shakalaka, boom shakalaka, boom shakalaka.
Old school, the big man is back. Anyway, I have some news here for you. Kiss my ass, lousy bastard. That's all.
Jim Ross is every woman's dream and every man's nightmare.
It's assault and battery.
Genius, baby. Genius.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice. You had time on your hands this week, didn't you, Jim?
I wish I could take credit for that remix towards the end, but I found it on YouTube. But yes.
Awesome.
Very, very,
yeah.
Very cool stuff.
And I hate to say it, even that remix sounds better than half of what Michael Cole has viewed this week. Booyah.
Don't you know who he is? He's the force of the WWE.
Yeah, he's forcing me to hit the mute button a lot. But I'm not going to spend this entire evening talking about Michael Cole. I'd like to gain some listeners tonight. This is the North American Wrestling Connection. My name is Nikki Heyman. And you've already heard a few names thrown around here, so I'm going to go ahead and poke around the panel anyway. First, just slightly north of me, a man who I owe quite a bit to, and as well as an apology, that would be Stat Boy Josh Henniger.
And it is time for me to unload. Ladies and gentlemen, my radio show is back. Capture Suplex Radio, debut tomorrow, 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Daylight Time, only on WRS. Radio.com. We will have PWO wrestler Big Bear Benjamin Boone live in studio with us, and who knows who will call in. I know at least one more name that will. So call in, give us our thoughts, and enjoy. Woo!
Very good.
Very nice.
Now, next up, I look slightly up to the northeast. To the boisterous game show geek that I know, Jason Block.
I just have one thing to say. If the rumor that Justin Bieber is going to sing America the Beautiful at WrestleMania is true, he will not, put it to you this way, if Bieber sings, we riot. Plain and simple.
Here lies Justin Bieber, 1994 to 2011. Died because he was a moron.
And while he's singing, then all we hear is another microphone go live. So, since I do not require a person to eliminate stupid from the show, but the man who brings a ton of humor in his audio files, that would be Mr. Jim Williams.
Thank you very much for the kind words, and I want to just also thank you, Nikki, for booking two guests, me and Jason, who happen to be fans of the two best teams in postseason baseball right now. Screw you! See, I wasn't going to go off on you this week, Jason. Talk to me in 2 weeks, it'll be different.
Oh, yeah, bring it, baby. That's all. we're in the World Series, man. The shit's going to be on. That's all. That's
oh.
all I'm saying.
All right, let's get
on. That's right, wrong show. Let's do
yes.
it.
This is not a baseball show.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
You're not Bob Uecker. That's right. Okay.
Okay, we keep this crap up. I will throw you in the room next to Heidenreich, so cool it. All right,
mommy.
The dust has settled. What's that?
I want my mommy.
Easy, Josh.
Sure you do.
No, you're going to hate me in a minute, Josh.
What do you mean?
Oh, something's playing on my... I have a commercial playing on my computer, but you can't hear it on the live audio. The dust has settled from Hell in a Cell.
Oh,
not too many
surprises,
and a couple of turns. A few things that we hit right on the head was the fact that Orton was going to retain, and the fact that Daniel Bryan was going to retain his United States title. So, unfortunately, after that, we had stuff all over the map. Now, where the hell is that audio coming from?
On and down, shoot it to kill.
She hears voices in her head. They come to her. They understand.
Their names are Fred?
That too.
And they only talk to me, so there. However, we had a lot of bouncing around when it came to Cena versus Barrett, Kane versus The Undertaker, and, well, not so much in the case of the McCool and Natalya match. So, yes, this is where the hate's going to come in, because I get to say that Stat Boy was at the very bottom of the pile with two.
Yeah.
Wow, okay. Fourth was only a slight ahead of Josh with three. And Ms. Trista got her 3.5 since she called the flush on Cena versus Barrett. But we have quite a mess at the top of the card, as
mm-hmm.
we have three-way tie for the NAWC Fizzleweight Champion, and that's everybody else on the show. Wow.
Thank you. Thank you.
Unbelievable.
Thanks so much.
Sorry, Josh. You thought you knew this was coming. You're the one who emailed me all this.
Maybe I should have accidentally fixed it. Wink, wink.
You tried to accidentally fix it by sending me the numbers backwards from McCool Natalya.
That's because my mind was hoping to dear God Natalya won. In short, I hate Michelle McRibs.
You hate Michelle McRibs? I think a certain person has something to say to you for dare soiling her beautiful name.
Who in...
Whoops.
Nope. Take her...
Who in the hell do you think you are?
He has a speech.
I'm the
stat
man, you bastard.
Be nice to the dead man. He still hasn't quite recovered from his shocking swerve and defeat.
Yeah.
Excuse me while I go and tape my own wrists up.
Please tell me you said shocking swerve in an air of sarcasm.
Okay, admittedly there's sarcasm there, but hey.
Yeah, I mean, come on. When the guy wears a red tie for a week straight, you know something's going on. Look at you, Paul Bearer. Okay.
But you know what, though? I have to say, if you've been reading his tweets at WWE Earn-A-Verse, by the way, great name, not for nothing. He's been having a blast with this.
Definitely.
So Nikki, you actually saw the show, right?
Yes, I did.
What'd you think of it?
I enjoyed it. I thought I had a lot of fun watching the show. Of course, I was together with a lot of friends, so it wasn't the full $40 out of my pocket. The Orton Sheamus Hell in a Cell was above and beyond anything that Orton did last year with Cena. I will say that, but that's not saying much because the Orton Cena Hell in a Cell ranks only slightly ahead of Hell in a Kennel on my list.
Oh God.
The U.S. title match, Daniel Bryan and Morrison and Miz. If you haven't seen it, find it on YouTube.
Oh, it was great.
This match was so much fun.
Which one was this one?
The U.S. title match.
Okay.
Bryan, Morrison, submissions count anywhere. the fact that Morrison went and studied a bunch of older tapes and was breaking out the Tarantula and the House of Pain, where Miz was pulling, was attempting stuff while they were out on the floor, including a dragon sleeper on a handrail in the lower level. Brian got to pull out the cattle mutilation, which Stryker called, and Cole boggled. And Matt just kind of smiled back at him. He says, it's called the cattle mutilation. Go look it up.
Google it.
So, Cena versus Barrett, very well played. Planted some seeds for some of the stuff that happened Monday night as a very, very distraught leader of the C-Nation. While not completely dressed in the black and yellow, but we'll get him there.
Yeah, that bothered me a bit. When we get to Raw.
Well, we're gonna get to that right away. The show, like I said, the show overall was quite, I felt was pretty good. It's definitely something you might want to grab the DVD for, if only for the U.S. title match. That alone was worth that was worth the price of admission for me.
It was a great way to start the card.
Beautiful way to start the show. Kane Undertaker as the main event. These two work so well together. The few, you know, granted they have worked together multiple times in the past, whether as friends or foes, it is so much fun to see both of them in the ring together. I love their work. Paul Bearer, as Jason said, is having way too much fun. And Typho said he had some good looks at Miz and Morrison during that match. I want pictures.
Oh, boy.
Well, if any of you guys who've been over at the WrestleCraft forums, I am petitioning for a John Morrison picture thread.
Jesus, no.
Oh, shut up, Josh. Just because of somebody with an incredibly lame pun.
No, I seen what you put on. Oh, no.
What, the fact that John Morrison likes his parkour with butter?
Oh, you didn't.
That's terrible.
I'm not going to look at butter the same way again. Oh.
No. But I was thinking parkour, parquet.
As I said, an incredibly lame pun, but I wasn't the only one who made the parquet joke. So I'm going to escape this pun and get us over to Monday night. I agree with Jason that John Cena should have come out in the black and yellow complete and not just his gear. Although, I'll give it this. This is a gradual thing. If Cena's going to be stuck under the wing, under Wade Barrett's wing for the next couple of months, we're slowly going to hand him each of the pieces of his Nexus uniform. He got the armband Monday night. He should get his shirt or his hat next week, and whatever he doesn't get after that, he'll have in time for the pay-per-view. Don't panic, Jason. It's going to happen.
Okay. Well, I mean, but for me, what I would like to see, because this would be something very interesting, okay, you know, with the whole Cena thing, I would love to see Cena go full-blown heel and be the force behind the Nexus all along. I know it won't happen, but wouldn't that be a total kick in the pants?
Oh, absolutely. I honestly think you're in the majority on that, Jason. Yeah, I think it would be a heck of a storyline, and a heck, it would build interest in the product, quite frankly, a little bit more, which they're lacking quite much right now.
Yeah, but we already see that some of this isn't going quite in that direction. I think Josh has the information on that.
Mm-hmm.
What are you talking about?
Okay, you can come out of the corner now. I want you to talk to us. Cena's got some vacation Hollywood time coming up, doesn't he?
Yeah, there's wild rumors rolling about that. He's only going to be there till roughly bragging rights, and then he may be off for a while, headed off to Hollywood land once again to do another movie. let me see if they have any information on it online.
Go ahead.
I'll get back to you.
No problem. I personally think that John Cena might pull kind of what he did with the Marine, where he would still show up sporadically for shows. Although, admittedly, with the, you know, you're either Nexus or you're fired looming over his head, this would be his out.
Very well done.
Josh, yeah, I think that's what, you know, when you have something that definitive, eventually you're going to hit it.
By the way, there is nothing listed, as far as I know. Although he did just star tonight in Generator Rex, which is a Cartoon Network series.
Which I wish I'd heard about. He's actually playing a heel on that.
Uh-huh. Wouldn't surprise me.
I hope that reruns soon. I'll put it on my DVR. I got to hear this. Let's see. Other points of interest from Monday night. Who knew that Goldust was still able to find his way into a storyline?
Yeah, and do absolutely great at it.
And it was it was great. That was the best. Well, okay, the second best thing on Monday Night Raw was Goldust, you know, doing some non-PG things to a $1 million belt.
Very well, very good description of it. Yes.
Yeah, better than the implied non-PG things he could have done to Maurice and or Ted. Were this still the Attitude Era, I think he'd have been all over them, too. But, to be honest, I did not figure out who it was until the lights came up on the last string of Trons Monday night. Because I was in Indianapolis for I Will Have You and the Mysterious Note. I couldn't even tell you who it was aimed at. That's what I enjoyed about the build for this. So did anybody else pick, you know, even guess it was Bulldog? Seriously.
No, it didn't make sense to me. And then, of course, after the fact, we remember Mr. Ronald Rhodes has his own little book coming out very soon, so it's perfect time for a storyline for him to get kind of a high, get a few books sold, if you will.
So, looking forward to seeing where this goes. The downer and, I feel, overreaction of the IWC of the night was Sheamus taking his frustrations out on poor little Daniel Bryan. No offense to the IWC, but it's one bloody match.
Yes, they're becoming Chicken Little. The sky is falling, the sky is falling. You're burying the champ, only to put him over that much further down the road?
By the way, weren't we here before? Choking a tie a few months ago, and we were all saying, oh my God, the WWE sucks balls, you know, oh my God, they killed him, it's the Chris Benoit, it's the political angle. It's one match, folks. It's one fucking match. Get your panties out of your, you know, out of your ass crack and deal. Sorry.
That's the Sheamus Bryan match you're talking about?
Yeah, I'm talking about...
To be perfectly honest, that kind of needed to happen. That match did need to happen. Because Sheamus was coming off a big loss at Hell in a Cell, while Daniel Bryan was coming off a big win over Miz and Morrison. So pretty much leveling those two out was the only thing that was going to happen. And remember, Bryan technically won because Sheamus got himself DQ'd.
True.
So, yeah, but again, the IWC is overreacting for their hero, and I understand. But guys, remember, it's one match.
Yeah.
Next week he might even tie Sheamus in a knot. I don't see it happening. That'd be kind of fun, but no.
Maybe he'll kick his fucking head in. Who knows, right?
Wow. Oh. So if Sheamus is tied into a knot, does that mean he becomes a raw pretzel before it's cooked?
Yes.
Okay. Just making sure. Yeah.
Let's see. The other big news was that, once again, Edge was thoroughly thwarted by GM Vista. I would call it with GM Windows 7.
It was GM XP.
I swear to God that somebody in a penguin suit needs to come out and announce themselves. And yes, that's awesome.
There you go.
Nice.
Very good.
Double joking.
Nice. Geeks. Boy, you're on striker level there. That's good. Thank you. Thanks very much.
Nerd.
So, I prefer geek. But
yes,
all silliness aside, the fact that Edge was removed from Raw and has been put into was actually traded to SmackDown. Now, amazingly, and you know, I realize I'm going to jump to SmackDown real quick. Nobody on SmackDown knew who got traded. The word right now is that it's Punk, which makes a lot of sense because Punk wasn't in the intro tonight. Edge was. That was quick.
That's called post-production.
Yes.
And now that Edge is a full-fledged face, and oh boy, the reaction he got at SmackDown. It's right up there with me. I am just as happy because I've been waiting for Face Edge since he got back. But hallelujah.
So, and also, by the way, and again, I apologize for talking too much, the Crusade Against Stupid is sort of the semi-worked shoot angle, which Edge is so known for in a lot of ways, you know. And it's great. It's great because it's basically the vocal of like, hey, a lot of the shit that we think is stupid is stupid, which I like, you know.
And I wonder if he's somebody who's taking it, you know, poking around message boards going, ooh, they think it's stupid. That'll give me some cheers. Yeah. Okay, that's stupid too. You guys got some great ideas. That's not stupid. I can't spear her. I'm not allowed. It's already to the point that there is actually a list on WWE.com from a bunch of writers from the website saying, hey, Edge, put this on your list. And
nice.
some of those on the list included Dashing Cody Rhodes, Lay Cool, oh God, who else? A representative from BP, anyone from the cast of Jersey Shore.
Okay.
Although I still maintain that Snooki and Angelina could fight much better than 75% of the divas currently enlisted.
Wow.
Wow.
And that was further exemplified on TNA, but I'll get back to that.
Oh.
And thanks to a horrible, horrible Dolphins-New England game Monday night, plus the added interest of Cena being roped into the Nexus, Raw enjoyed a full half-point rebound.
More than a half-point. Almost 0.7.
I've got a 3-3 stat boy. Fill me in.
It is a 3.33. Last week was a mere 2.74.
Okay.
That's an increase of 0.69, approximately 1 million viewers.
That's a lot of eyeballs, and that's a lot of people saying, what happened?
Yeah.
And that's a great thing. And I think the interest will continue to peak as long as Cena is being playing toady to Wade Barrett, which I'm sure he's absolutely loving in and out of character.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see. Dust settles from that. Now, our Tuesday nights are now wide open, unless you feel like watching jumpy images on WWE.com trying to watch NXT.
which I actually did. Guilty as charged.
Yeah, me too. And meh.
Tiss.
You know, that's an hour I'll never get back.
Yeah.
I only got through about 40 minutes of it because the video was just driving me back.
Mm-hmm.
I prefer to watch it on Wednesdays when Styles just goes off the handle usually on .com, so.
Ooh.
Fun times.
So, well, yeah. So it was pretty much same shit, different channel. A couple of goofy contests. The Caitlyn Vicky match, of course, and that Jamie gets eliminated, which irritates the daylights out of me. My money was on Maxine to be the first one thrown out because she has no personality. And as far as I can tell, she can't wrestle.
But from what I believe, I think that the little boy robot got eliminated first because she was already on NXT. She doesn't really need it to, you know, excel at all. Maxine will be the next eliminated, obviously, though.
She'll be deported.
Why?
Yes.
No, you're thinking about...
Oh, I'm sorry,
about,
I'm getting them all confused. Oksana. Well, Maxine ought to be deported, too. I'm sorry.
No. Goldust is not going to let Oksana be deported. He'll marry her first.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely.
Of course.
He shows how much I care about the show. Marlena. I just care about AJ. So.
Yeah. He will accidentally call her Marlena at least once.
Wow.
And then New Jack will come in with a staple gun.
Sorry, it had to be said. Because I look at Oksana and I've seen a couple of pictures of Goldust and Marlena, and that's all I can think of.
Well, it's past 7 year rule, so sure.
So which leads me to the next question. Now that it's on .com, I see that most of us went and tried to watch it. Jim, would you watch it again next week?
Look, as I kind of alluded to, the way I'm probably going to watch it is, well, this is depending on if I do the other show on BTR, probably the night that Styles goes in there, Joey Styles, that is, and chats with everybody because he just rips the show to shreds, which is just plain hilarious to me. So it would probably be on Wednesday as opposed to Tuesday I'd watch it. Yeah, and the video quality was okay for me. Maybe it was a connection issue on your end. I don't know.
I had one too many things running, and it just, you know, like I said, at one point I just got so frustrated, I turned the damn thing off.
Understandable.
So, sounds like Josh doesn't want to watch it. Am I right?
No, don't want to watch it. I know I've got to for my own radio show, but it's really not important anymore. All we need to do is just go over Little Boy Robot got eliminated. Next.
Thank goodness she did, in my opinion, but anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. But now that I have 2 days open during the week with no wrestling, at least I can get an extra workout in, or at least finally see my boyfriend on a more regular basis.
Hey, what do you know? So,
Hey, remember
now,
me?
Pretty much. I hate to say it.
Yeah, it's sad.
Okay, give me a second while I look something up.
And a second.
Yeah. You guys know that I am not a huge fan of TNA.
No. Nor am I.
But I'm going to read a couple of posts that popped up on my Facebook today.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Okay, so I sat down to try to watch wrestling on TV for the first time in months. My bad for choosing TNA. The first 2 minutes is the most horrible shit I have ever seen. Not even got any matches yet, and I am deleting this from the DVR and wait for Jersey Shore.
Fist bump.
Wow.
This was followed by another comment. These are both from workers, mind you. From actual wrestlers. TNA is pretty awful. They have to work hard to put out such a shitty product with such a good roster. I always forget TNA is on. I'm too busy watching Futurama.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
No, not at all.
it's not much better on the other end, whatever. Wrestling on TV? Really? I thought this was supposed to be entertainment. Okay, that's going to hit them both. So anyway, this is from two guys, former clients of mine. The first long one was from Kid Fabulous, aka Fabulous Candy Charles, aka American Kickboxer 2, followed by Relentless Ron Mathis from Heartland Wrestling Association. So guys,
we just had
a full interview. But to be honest, TNA really, Thursday night was their live go-home show to nail home interest in people to come see their WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
I personally feel they did not succeed. Maybe I'm just jaded. Anybody else here watch it?
I did. Mm-hmm. And again, it didn't do it. I mean, Bound for Glory is their WrestleMania, correct? Pretty much?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm interested because I really believe they are going to push the reset button in a way that's going to be very interesting. I still believe Shane McMahon's going to be on our screen Sunday night. I really believe this. Okay. And I also believe that Shane McMahon, the them, in quotes, is going to be Shane McMahon and Eric Bischoff together. That's my theory. Because it's got to shake something up, because right now, you know, it's about as boring as the WWE right now at points.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, when you have a guy like Rob Echoes, who is a great independent wrestler, okay, great guy, and Jim, I don't know if you've ever seen him on the East Coast and seen his work, Rob Echoes.
Name is familiar. I may have seen him, but it's not coming to me right now.
Okay.
He's been in a few Super 8s, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, and he's worked in NWS and a lot of other stuff. And to have him saddled with a Jersey Shore gimmick as Robbie E.
Cookie,
you know, it's awful. However, the only kudos I will give is the fact that with the Hulk Hogan back surgery video, that goes to show you two things. One, of course, Hogan will never get out of the spotlight. And two, Hogan will never wrestle again. Never. He's in that bad of a shape. He's done.
True, but I have a very, very bad suspicion in my mind that Hogan has been duping TMZ for the last few days. Because I know he's been in surgery, but I believe the man's out now and will be at the show Sunday.
That's fine. He better not be looking to do anything in the ring but stand there and hold a microphone and spout catchphrases.
And bad, and even worse, I think that it's going to be very lame, and it's going to be Hogan Bischoff as they. I hope to dear God it's not, but once again, that voice in the back of my head saying, "This is stupid. They're going to let you down."
I always joke about a schmoz button, and I've joked periodically about a Nexus schmoz button, where you just press the button and Nexus runs out and kills whoever's out there. I need one with the Edge logo on it, because if it's as stupid as you think it is, Josh, I want to press that button just to see Edge spear Eric Bischoff again.
You think you know me. You think you know me. You think you know me.
You were wrong, you were wrong, you were wrong.
Yes. So anywho.
You were wrong, you were wrong, you were wrong, you were wrong, you were wrong. You were definitely wrong.
By the way, I got that off of a TV wrestler's video, just so you know. So.
Yeah.
Are you stole it from Kappa Ame?
Oh, yeah. Awesome.
So he's got the whole tirade.
Oh, yeah.
He's got the entire tirade. And, well, actually, if there was another place you could have probably gone, but I don't know if you could have ripped him from there. If it's still on .com, there was an Edge soundboard.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if WWE.com still has it, but if you can find it.
Yeah,
I have a challenge.
It'll be higher quality, yeah. Okay.
If you can get to that soundboard, dismantle it, and get about half of the sounds off of there, I'm not sure what I owe you, but, you know, you'd be doing me a huge favor.
So I'm looking for the Edge soundboard.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll see what I can do.
Okay.
Thank you.
Because I admit I am a huge geek when it comes to, I'm also a huge geek when it comes to Edge. And for the record, I saw Edge Spear Bischoff live and in person when he came back that night in Detroit.
Oh
my. Actually, I just found the Edge soundboard real easy like.
Okay.
It's the WWE branded one?
Yes.
Yeah, WWE.com. Find it there.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Got it.
It was on.com. I just didn't know if it was still there because it's been for the part. Okay, if they had posted it, I think it was actually added to the website either right before or right after he got hurt, after his Achilles tendon injury. So I didn't know if it was still there. There's that, and then there's a page called The Sum of All Spears, which if you're as crazy of an Edge fan as I am, you can go see some of his spectacular attacks. Everything from the WrestleMania one where he spears Jeff Hardy midair, which is pretty much iconic.
That was the one from WrestleMania 17, I think.
Yes.
I have that on the ladder match DVD.
They also had Edge spearing Rey Mysterio out of midair from Royal Rumble 2008. I believe you were there, Jason.
There live with you, but we didn't know each other back then, I don't think.
No. And we were in completely different sections. I was pretty much on the opposite. I was over by the entrance area, so we couldn't see the guys come out.
Yeah.
So I didn't see holy shit, oh shit, cheer was about.
Mm-hmm.
Initially.
Yeah, you mean the Cena return.
Yes. The one where, if you look carefully on the video, you see him looking around and he finally just says, fuck!
Oh, he does?
Oh,
he does? I have to check that out.
Take a close look. It might just be a joke from Mr. Botchamania, Matthew.
Mm-hmm.
But I've seen a couple of pictures of that. So anyway, now that, you know, Edge is a very happy man and he's having a lot of fun over on SmackDown as he beat up the Swagger Soaring Eagle once again.
Swagger Soaring Eagle, get it right.
Oi.
Good guess.
Although, props to two lines from the promo that preceded this match. Jack Swagger asking the question, do you realize how hard it is for an endangered species to get health insurance?
And it will be even harder when Obamacare gets in. I'm sorry.
I did.
Sorry. Never mind.
Well played, but no spin.
No spin. Just, it was a joke. One way or the other.
No, you're fine.
Okay.
And both of Edge's statements about you might want to get your mascot out of the way because I have no problem flipping the bird.
Oh, it's just amazing. I hope Chris actually likes this now, but, you know.
Well, you know, as I said earlier, I'm a happy camper. Because Edge isn't the only doofus on the show now. Our other doofus, the world's largest doofus, the Big Show came out being just completely off the wall goofy.
Comedy show.
The fact that, huh?
He's comedy show and all his glory.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. The fact that I've never seen, that's only the second time I've ever seen this man run to the ring. And then enjoy the fact that he got to plug his movie and brag about the fact that he will be in charge of Team SmackDown at Bragging Rights, which I find amusing after what happened last year with him being the plant on Team Raw.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a face now, so I guess we're not going to see anything screwy.
What?
About that.
Okay, look, the fact that he's not gonna mess up his team this year. Put it that way.
No, never.
Well, with him in charge of Team SmackDown, and I'm guessing Miz will be in charge of Team Raw, this will be very amusing very quickly. Especially if those two get in the ring together, because they're going to be snapped out of each other. Now, I want to know why the hell Michael Cole was on SmackDown. I really do.
Actually, I've got the news on that one.
Absolutely. Go for it, Josh.
Michael Cole was added to the SmackDown commentary team because Vince is reportedly unhappy with Todd Grisham's work as of late. It's just, I don't know exactly what's going on because I really don't listen to commentary. When I do watch wrestling, it's usually on mute. And also, as a direct result of Cole going to the SmackDown commentary team, WWE International announcer Scott Stanford has replaced Cole on Superstars. He's still green.
Excuse me, Jim and I think, can talk about Scott Stafford more than, because he's an East Coast guy.
Yes,
stop.
You can.
Okay.
Well, I've actually never heard Stafford, believe it or not, so.
Well, Scott Stafford used to be a guy who with his brother Dave, did a Stafford Brothers show, okay, here in New York. And I actually worked with Mr. Stafford, both of them, on a short-lived radio trivia show, which was basically a trivia show, which was an advertorial for Major World, okay, which is a local car dealership in the area. However, Scott is the better brother of the two. Dave's a dick. Scott's a good guy, though. Scott's a very good guy, and he used to be a sportscaster for WWOR-TV here in New York. So he's got the Sean Mooney sort of vibe to him.
It's a reverse Mooney in this case, I guess.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, since I no longer get WG in America, and I'll have to start poking around .com for superstars, I'm going to have to give this guy a listen. But I personally feel that they don't need this much Michael Cole on my television.
Overexposure for the character that he's bringing to the table could be the worst thing for him. It could be the beginning of the end of that character. And as a character, it's not bad, but like I talked about last week, you got to go across the board. You can't just pick and choose, ooh, I'm a John Cena fan, but I hate Daniel Bryan, and I want to have, you know, sexual relations with The Miz. Boy, if somebody just tuned in and I said that, ooh.
That's magnificent.
Yes. No, but, you know,
Well, like I said before the show, I would appreciate Michael Cole's character a little bit more if he was consistent.
Thank you.
That's all I would ask if you are going to play a character. If you're going, you know, I can understand a change in attitude when a guy turns, no problem. Because Cole was kind of wagging his finger at Edge for, you know, disrespecting the GM. And I don't think he was really that negative to Edge tonight when he was sitting at the table at SmackDown. Now, wait a minute. That face turn pretty much hit I declare the face turn happened pretty much when Edge broke the laptop, but that's just me.
Seems about right.
Well, just the fact that I forget where I read it, but somebody said that there was no way that Edge could ever be a heel again because he did something that the entire IWC wanted to see, and that was to kill, quote-unquote, the Raw GM.
Mm-hmm. A shame that he had to kill the Daleks, but it needed to be done.
Okay. I'm the geek.
Neener, neener, neener.
Josh Henniger,
I'm great
too. The Dennis Miller of the panel tonight.
Gotcha.
Murder. I don't like him one bit. Nope.
Of course, that's just his opinion. He could be wrong. Yes.
I mean that in the most positive way, Josh. Unfortunately, I'm a huge Dennis Miller fan. I was probably one of five people on the entire planet who loved him on Monday Night Football just for the challenge of trying to get through the entire game and get every one of his references.
Yeah, really.
What I never did for the third quarter.
By the way, was it very interesting, though, that Mysterio basically crushed Del Rio, though?
Yeah, that was
crushed, if you mean having an awesome back-and-forth match for a 20-minute main event.
Oh, okay. It was back-and-forth? Okay, it was not one-sided then.
No. Admittedly, Del Rio early on did not have a lot of offense. But this is not going to hurt Del Rio by any stretch of the imagination. I know there's going to be some IWCers that are going to be, Rey Mysterio won again. Shut up. Rey wanted to get this win. This win was a revenge win from supposedly getting his wrist broken. Deal. So, let's see. With a little over 10 minutes left in the show, we got a really big shoe, and we got some thickums coming up, so...
Yep, I've got everything ready.
Okay, Josh, pay attention so that I can start pulling a few things up here. In fact, I'm even going to open up this other line. Forrest, good evening.
Forrest?
I left the line open. Where are you, man?
Forrest, hello. You're on with Larry King.
I'm pressing that button.
You just crushed the internet. Congratulations.
Oh, well. No. You know, if you're not on not on the phone, I get to press a button. And you're out.
Oh,
you want that fail. I can do that, too.
Yes.
That sound. That's awesome.
A bloody woo, no less. Yeah.
Oh God, yeah. They bleed buckets. Oh, that was a great brawl.
Holy Flair, that's something that I think they probably should have saved for Bound for Glory. They could have made some money off of that. People would have paid for that match.
Oh,
it was good. For two over 50 guys who are. Oh, I don't know. I don't know if Foley's over 50 yet, is he?
Not yet.
No, 40s.
But still, Flair doesn't have to do that. I mean, he does, but he doesn't. You know what I mean?
Consider who this is you're talking about.
Yes.
All right, hang on. Here we go. Forrest, are you back?
All right, let's roll.
Yes, I'm sorry. That was my mistake.
No, you're fine. We're going to go ahead and get started on this pretty stacked card. Let's see, what have I got here?
Eight matches in total. Total number of points could be quite a lot.
Could be.
Admittedly,
we'll find out as we go along then.
I was going to say, admittedly, some of my picks will be a shot in the dark because really the only, there's only one match I can really foresee. Otherwise, I really don't know. But you guys,
well,
go
I'm,
ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm not going to be fancy with this. This will just make it very easy. I'm just going for winners on all of these matches because a lot of these are pretty messy. I could make this a great big noisy mess for you, Josh, but I think we're just going to go straight up for winners. Is that okay?
I could see maximum 14 points.
Yeah. So let's see, 2, 4, 6, 8.
You only have 2 1-on-1s. Everyone else is could be a 2-pointer.
Right. So let me see how much time we have.
9 minutes.
Okay. Well, let me see. Make it real quick here. Oh, okay, here we go. 2, 3, 2, 4, 5, 7, 9, 11, 12. Yeah, I see what you got here, Josh. 14 points. We're going to do wins and pins. All right.
Oh, boy.
So.
Let's go with one. All right, go ahead. Hit it.
No, what were you going to say, Josh? Go ahead.
Nope. I was wanting to go ahead with the first match, one of the easier to pick, Lethal Williams.
I can do that real quick. X Division title, Douglas Williams and Jay Lethal. Now, I don't know too much of what's going on, but Jay Lethal got thrown out of the $100,000 Battle Royal pretty darn quick. So, Josh, you seem interested in this match. Who wins?
I will say Jay Lethal wins. I don't know why, but I'd say he does.
Jason, what do you got?
You're absolutely right, because Lethal's been getting the push and the footage. So, yes, Lethal wins.
Jim?
I'm going to go with Douglas Williams, and remember, I will have the same caveat as fourth. Don't watch much of the program. This ought to be I ought to be in last place at the end of this. So. Yeah.
Okay, fourth?
I will go with Jay Lethal. But it will definitely be a match, although either way.
Okay. I'm going to take the majority, even though I didn't like what I saw Thursday night, although that's part of the momentum rule. So, yeah, put me down for Lethal, Josh.
All right. 5 for Lethal, including Typhoon in the chat room. Williams is only for Jim.
All right.
Williams for Williams.
Next one I'm going to pick is this very bizarre match, EY and Orlando Jordan versus Ink Inc.
Oi.
EY has rediscovered his weird,
mm-hmm.
And Orlando Jordan is Orlando Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
2-point match. Who wins and who got pinned? Jim?
Can you come back to me at the end? Sorry, I apologize. Yeah. A little more time.
That's fine. Josh?
Yes, I am picking EY and Orlando Jordan to win, and Sailor P, a.k.a. Jesse Neal, gets pinned.
Jason?
Now, hopefully you can see this convoluted decision, all right? Orlando Jordan will pin Jesse Neal, but Eric Young will find something that's screwed up because his head's all discombobulated, and reverse the decision so Jesse Neal and Ink Inc. wins. Do you get that?
So nobody gets pinned. Oh, my.
Something like that.
Fourth?
I think that Orlando Jordan is going to pin Shannon Moore. I think this time Eric Young's kind of weirdness will help Orlando Jordan.
I'm picking Jordan and EY, and I see Shannon Moore getting pinned. These two are a brand new tag team. Ink is established, and this is a good way to get these two moved up. Jim,
All right. You
made a decision.
Okay, yes, I've come to a decision, and I quote, Jordan pins Neal.
Next match. Typho picks Ink, Jordan's pinned.
Okay. Next match, a fatal four-way for the Knockouts title. Now that the whole Beautiful People copyright issue was settled in the ring. Angelina Love, Velvet Sky, Madison Rain, and Tara. And what a way to use their new talent, Mickey James, as a special guest referee.
Hold on. Don't piss on it yet, because it's just the start. We'll get to that.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, wasn't Angle an enforcer at Bound for Glory 4 years ago? Or
I didn't expect him. I wasn't expecting him to wrestle in TNA, but that's just me. Angle, I don't know why it didn't bother me, but this one with Mickey James really does. Two-pointer, who wins, who gets pinned? Josh.
Me again? Holy. Could you come back to me? Because I am up in the air.
Jason?
I think that Tara will win due to help from Mickey James setting up, you know, sort of Mickey James getting in the mix with the Beautiful People and all that stuff in there in the Knockouts division.
Who gets pinned?
Angelina Love.
All right.
Okay. Jim?
I'm going to agree on the Tara part. I'm going to go with a pin on... Yeah, what the heck? Madison Rain, what the heck?
Actually, I like that. Tara pins Madison Rain. We're really going to have to step it up, guys.
All right.
As for me, I am going to pick Tara to win, and Velvet Sky gets pinned.
Okay. Fourth?
I think Madison is going to pin Velvet, and after that, there's going to be a brawl between her and Mickey to kind of bring her into contention.
Okay, that was Rain and Velvet?
Yep.
All right. And Typho picks Madison Rain to win, Velvet Sky pinned.
Okay.
3 minutes.
Just for the... For our listeners, our picks are going to go into the archive because we've only got 2 minutes and a few matches yet.
Mm-hmm.
So, tag team title match, Motor City Machine Guns, Happy Champions versus Generation Me. Josh, what do you got?
I've got Murder City winning with Max Buck getting pinned.
Jason?
Motor City Machine Guns are showing why they are the best tag team in the world today. They will win. The other Buck will get pinned. I forget his name.
Jeremy Buck?
Jeremy Buck, yeah.
Jim?
I'll go with MCMG for the win, and can Joe Buck get pinned? Just a no.
No.
No. Not very good.
You know what? Flush the second half of it for me.
Lusharoo. Yeah, we've done this before.
So, let's see. Fourth?
I think Alex Shelley is going to pin Jeremy Buck and the Guns retain.
Okay.
I'm taking the Guns, and I don't care who they pin. So, yeah.
So, you're flushing as well?
Yeah, here's this little
rubber. Oh, crap.
Okay. Let's see. Next stop, handicap match. Sting, Kevin Nash, and the Pope, better known as the Conspiracy Theorists, versus Jeff Jarrett and Samoa Joe. They seem, the elders seem to know what's going on. Jeff Jarrett just kind of wants to keep the peace and... hard to do when you got Samoa Joe as your partner. This is also a two-pointer, and we're going to be coming up on the archive real quick. So what I'm going to do in these last 30 seconds, I'm just going to let everybody know I'm going to be down in Hamilton for a benefit show tomorrow. This show is going to be run by the Irish Airborne. Wish me luck.
Oh, boy.
So So for all of those listening to the North American Wrestling Connection, stay tuned. We're going to jump into the archives, and we're going to go ahead and finish all these pick-ems. I promise you will get all of that. So for now, the live portion is over, but we will be on presently.
And we'll clear.
And archive. So back
and
we
we're back.
And we're back. Welcome to the third hour of Reaction. I mean Nitro. I mean, I'm sorry.
The third hour of our telethon now, ladies and gentlemen. The same TNA.
I have
Don't even get me started on the end of TNA leading into Reaction.
I was going to say, I've noticed that at the end of Impact the last 2 weeks that I've watched, the final match usually goes into Reaction almost to try to get the ratings up.
You think?
Smart move.
Smart, but I still delete it off my DVR.
True.
But that's where the downfall is. Most people will DVR it, so at least the first couple of weeks, they won't notice. Then they'll end up having to do it then.
Mm-hmm. So, let's see. The handicap match. The conspiracy theorists versus the old-timers. So this one is also a two-pointer. Which team wins? Who gets pinned? Jim.
I'm going to go with Jared and Samoa Joe winning, and Nash gets on his backside.
With that, Jim, I just got a nice keep people free. Could you repeat what you said?
I have Jared Samoa Joe winning, and Nash is pinned.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Jason?
You got the right guy, but the wrong guy being pinned. Jarrett and Joe win, and to continue the conspiracy theory and to throw a little race card into the mix, Pope gets pinned. And that's what they're going to play, unfortunately.
Josh, what do you see?
I sadly see the same thing, even though it is a 2-on-3 handicap. Joe and Jarrett win, and D'Angelo De Niro, the odd man out of the three, gets pinned.
Fourth, what do you got?
I'm actually going a different way. I think that Kevin Nash will pin Jeff Jarrett with some convenient help from Eric Bischoff.
So that's being Nash and De Niro win, Jarrett gets pinned?
Yep.
Okay. Typho out in chat room land says being Nash and De Niro will win, and Jarrett will be pinned as well.
Well, my money is that handicap rules always favor the minority, not meaning Pope.
Oh.
Sorry.
Hey, you're forgetting there's another one in that match.
Well, yeah. So, but I still see Jarrett and Joe taking this, and it's going to be Pope. That's taking the Pope's taking the fall. I almost see it by submission.
Ooh, cocaine a clutch, baby.
Yeah.
Three more matches to go.
Okay. Lethal Lockdown, which I need to get something of a semblance of a card here. Give me a second.
I've got it in front of me, actually. It's a 5-on-5 match, a Lethal Lockdown match as well. You've got Fortune. Based of AJ Styles, Kazarian, Matt Morgan, Robert Roode, and James Storm. Versus EV 2.0 in Tommy Dreamer, Raven, Rhino, Sabu, and Stevie Richards.
Now, who has the advantage going in?
The team that isn't a bunch of jobbers.
Fortune, I believe, has the advantage.
Fortune has the advantage. Now, Flair lost the last man standing match, but he doesn't seem all that perturbed. So let's see. I'm gonna make this one. Do I want to do this as a two-pointer, Josh?
Considering lethal lockdowns always end in pins or something, it is definitely plausible. Who wins and who gets pinned? That will be tough to nail, but it could still be easily gettable.
Okay. What team wins, and who's the last man out on the other? Who's essentially the last one pinned on the losing team?
Last one pinned. Wait a minute. Let me look up lethal lockdown rules because I'm a little confused.
The first person who gets pinned,
it's over.
Ooh, it's not a Survivor Series sort of.
Right.
What? Okay, so it's not elimination rules. My apologies. I've only seen one lethal lockdown, and I did see it live.
It's the same thing as War Games.
Every 2 minutes someone comes in?
More or less.
Yeah.
Okay. And then after the last thing, the roof gets closed.
Yep, and weapons are on top of it.
So, Josh, set me an example. What team wins, and who's the last guy pinned on the losing team? Or who gets pinned from the losing team?
The winners of this match are EV 2.0, and the person that will be getting pinned is the jobber of the Five of Fortune, Kazarian.
Jason, you agree?
Absolutely not. You've got to be kidding. If you give Evie 2.0 the win here, you're extending the feud, which I don't think is going to happen. I think Evie 2.0 is done. Dreamer gets pinned, and I'll even call the guy who pins him, AJ Styles.
And if
that happens, I want 3 points.
Negative 4 points. Got you.
Ooh.
this is lost. I'm going to say Fortune wins. And, you know, I like Jason's logic, so I'm going to go with it. Tommy Dreamer is dorsal side up.
Oh, jeez. Wow. Are you saying he's as big as a whale? And he's
don't say that.
Don't worry, Scott Steiner has an answer for you.
Don't even know what that is.
Yeah, I can't play sounds anymore, so.
Okay.
I think this probably will end the feud, or at least end the significant matches. I think that it will be a case of maybe Tommy Dreamer actually getting the victory here over Kazarian, but it's almost done, their feud.
So who are you picking?
Dreamer pins Kazarian.
I love you.
Platonically, of course.
Yes, because nobody else has the nuts to say Evie 2.0 wins.
Who needs nuts when you have brains? No, I'm kidding.
Well, as much as I love the EV 2.0 guys, and I did notice that they got a couple of video packages on Impact this past week, and maybe they've been doing that for the past couple of weeks. But Fortune is still the considerable future of the company, but I'm not going to be so mean to Ken Dreamer.
You said Dreamer gets... Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Dreamer's getting pinned. Fortune's going to win. They're going to do it by pinning Rhino.
All right. And I don't know if somebody's eaten, but please stop. I can hear it.
Okay. Did I get everybody on the phone?
And Typho picks Fortune. Dreamer pinned. So that is everyone. To the next last match on the card that we got to pick.
Yeah. This one's a one-pointer, a very easy one. Rob Van Dam faces the Monster Abyss in a Monster's Ball match. This match almost didn't happen because Dixie was so insistent on getting Abyss fired after kidnapping her at the beginning of this past Thursday show, which really, 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 really pissed me off. But that's neither here nor there. So simply put, who wins, Jim?
I'm going to go with Rob Van Dam.
Jason?
Abyss wins when Eric Bischoff is shown to, you know, is going to reveal his master plan.
Josh?
Even though Abyss may be a bit of a jobber when it comes to Monsters Ball matches, he will win this time around, mainly because of they. That and also Bob and Janice.
Fourth?
I think Van Dam will win the match, even though I think Abyss will win the fight, and they will be revealed. I think one of them, not all, but one will be Bischoff.
See, I'm thinking about the same way as Fort. Rob's going to win the match, but he's losing the segment because Abyss will be so infuriated that he will reveal they. And, yeah, Bischoff's one of them, and one of his first executive decisions will be to reinstate Abyss.
Yep. And we are officially divided here at the NAWC. Nikki, Jim, and Forth all pick Rob Van Dam. Myself, Typho, and Jason pick Abyss. Last match, please.
The last match is the triple threat for the TNA World Heavyweight Championship. Kurt Angle versus Mr. Anderson versus Jeff Hardy. Now remember, Kurt Angle still has an effect that if the next match he loses, he's done. So, with this belt hanging over our heads, it's a two-pointer. Who wins? Who gets pinned? Josh.
I am picking probably the most obvious one of the three, or to win anyway, Kurt Angle. Who gets pinned? Jeff Hardy.
All right. Jim?
Give me Kurt Angle. I'm going to go with the asshole getting pinned.
Okay.
Jason?
I'm going to shock the world here. Go for it. Your new world champion, Ken Anderson, pinning Kurt Angle in his last match in TNA for a while.
I'm having trouble seeing it, but you know, props for putting it out there. Fourth?
Yeah.
I think they'll probably pull the triple threat logic of since he wasn't pinned or made to submit, he technically didn't lose, but I will also go with the dark horse of Mr. Anderson. He will pin Jeff Hardy.
Okay.
Nikki?
Give me a second here, because one thing I hate about TNA, there's really no clear faces or heels here. So I can't use that part of the triple threat rules. I don't see Angle going anywhere. Angle wins, and he pins Anderson.
All right, and that is almost everything. We're only missing Typho's pick because, well, he almost wound up being ghost-like. So I'll probably get that from him a little bit later on. I'll
okay.
bug him on his Facebook.
I will say this, though. Contrary to even what the and also, by the way, can I throw a question out there, Nikki, if you don't mind, for an archives?
Please, we got some room.
What do you think 3D's announcement is going to be?
I personally think it's going to be their retirement.
Yeah.
They haven't done much with TNA. They're not involved with EV 2.0. Devon has a very lucrative school and smoothie shop in my hometown. So they don't really need TNA.
Okay.
Okay, and I just got the last pick,
Angle wins from Typho Anderson pinned.
Okay.
And that's everything. I'll have the final results to you sometime later.
Oh, and just another couple of storyline little things. Who do you think they will be, and what is Sting going to, quote-unquote, open up and expose to the world in the story?
Hogan and Bischoff are they, and the I don't want to say what he's going to expose to the world, because my mind's in the gutter.
Ew.
That boy.
I think about the second one, it could be that he's going to try to fake everyone out and thinking that Hogan is a part of they. I think he's probably blowing smoke that there is no actual evidence, but just trying to make everyone think that Hogan is one of them.
Mm-hmm. For me, like I said, I'm still enamored with the fun rumor that was bouncing around on the boards that Vince McMahon is the leader of they to come out there and just take over TNA and just look at them all and say, you've been doing it wrong.
Yeah.
But that's not going to happen. But Bischoff is tangentially tied into them. I'm just not sure who the rest of them are.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully they're not giant ants.
Or snakes on a plane, even.
Yeah.
Oh, come
yeah,
on. Maybe we'll support ratings for TNA.
Oh, absolutely. I'm just talking about the actual states.
Oh.
No. Has it got you curious enough to actually buy the show? As a wrestling product,
it has got me curious enough that I will research means of seeing the show.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay.
Since this is broadcast, I cannot divulge further because I don't feel like getting a nasty phone call from the FCC.
Right. Okay.
But I think you guys all know where I'm going with that.
Yeah, we all do. Yeah.
But we will not pursue it any further, BTR cares.
Yeah. But like I said, I personally, even though this is the biggest show of the year, I can't put the money down. Just can't do it. But I hope that TNA knocks my socks off should I watch this event. So,
that's completely up to you.
Yeah. So with that in mind, I think we've done about everything we can do with this show. Gentlemen, I appreciate you guys sticking around for overtime and getting all this taken care of and putting up with my nonsense at least.
Yeah, it's all right.
Josh, thanks for putting up with all the nonsense that we've heaped upon you this evening.
Yeah. 14 points of good God. The good news is Nikki and Jim cannot get a perfect score.
Well, you know, put it to you this way. It's going to be very interesting, though. I mean, it's going to be very interesting to see what they do here. If it's going to be a total reboot or is it going to be one of those, you know, lots of promise and crappy execution.
Maybe a little bit from column A and a little bit from column B.
That seems to be about right.
I was going to ask, do you think it... Sorry.
No, go ahead.
Do you think that if it's something that is a complete miss, do you think it'll be something that he's just thought of as just being something that just didn't work out or a damaging, like a major damaging blow to TNA?
It actually depends on how bad of a clusterfuck it is.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Nikki.
I was going to say, if we're talking, you know, WCW 2000 level miss, This is going to cause a collective facepalm. You know, the Carters seem to be all in on this company, but I don't know if they're even still making money right now. If this turns into a major bomb and you turn off enough fans, TNA drops under a point, and we're going to go. They're going to go to Russo booking strategy, where they just throw shit at the wall and hope something sticks.
And they have been increasing ever so slightly in the TV ratings the last few weeks. So,
because some of it's been good. I mean, the Angle Anderson Hardy stuff has been phenomenal. It's been really good television.
Sad reality, though, is it's being overshadowed by certain things that people just don't want to see. That's a sad thing.
Now, let me ask you this. What do you think, I mean, just from your own opinion, would be a successful day, or, you know, as versus to a holy crap day, you know?
First of all, one of the biggest things they've got to hit out of the park is the reveal on They, because I think that's what's bringing more and more eyeballs to the television when it comes to TNA. Abyss's rant about whoever They are, because he's been doing this for a couple of months now, so word's out. And it's you know, the rumor boards are all over the place. Even like I said, between the WWE joke and, you know, some of the theories we've posted here tonight, we don't know who they are. That I give TNA points for. That the reveal has not been leaked, that we do not have an answer. And like I said, it's gotta be something really cool, something that's gonna knock the ball out of the park. It's gotta be, you know, something that's gonna make some sense, that's gonna really shake things up. And from the proper corner of left field, I think a lot of people will accept that. Now, if they, you know, they do something, you know, ridiculously stupid and foolish. What's that?
Pop flyish.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that doesn't happen, but I really do fear it is going to happen, and it's going to suck. As usual.
And that's why I'm nervous about putting money down for this pay-per-view.
I mean, put it to you this way. We all, I mean, since we're all throwing out crazy shit here, do you have that little quote that we didn't get to in the live show that I sent you? From your dear uncle?
Yeah, let me pull that up.
Because listen to this.
Let's see. Let me find where you started, because there's quite a bit to this article.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'll even speak it properly. It came real close with TNA. To me, it was more of a deal with Spike TV than a stock and ownership deal involving TNA. I had a 5-year plan. I was going to spend 18 months building this roster, then the next 18 months exploiting that built roster. That's 3 years in, go public in 3, stay for two more running it, and then get out at 50. That was my plan. I had an exit plan, I had a 5-year plan, and I clued everyone into it. I told TNA what my plan was, and I told Spike TV what my plan was, and how we would capitalize on it, and how we would make this thing move, and an acknowledgement that wrestling is a diminishing market, and it's not perceived as cool, and here's now you, if not change course, at least present it differently so that at least you have a chance in today's marketplace to at least compete. When that didn't happen, that was it. I didn't have any other interest in doing it. It was close. I would have done it for that particular deal, and that's it. That time has passed. Now I'm looking at taking my abilities elsewhere, and the logical step for me is this entry point right now, both into MMA and into just the branding world.
May I explain who that was? Well, I know who you were being.
Well, it's the fact that that was my dear Uncle Paul speaking about his opportunity to join into TNA. He was that close. It's kind of that close, and I'm really going to exploit my geek here. That close that the Atari brand actually had with Nintendo that could have left Atari on the map in the video game war, as Atari could have been the distributor of the NES.
Boy, my God, thank you, Stryker. Wow.
This is the size of the impact we're talking about. This is a missed moment of awesome. And I'm not speaking of just because of my love for my dear Uncle Paul. I'm talking about a missed moment of awesome in the wrestling world.
Oh, yeah, I agree. First of all, that was also an interview he did for MMAfighting.com, I believe that was the site that I pulled that up from, because he is actually now the advertising company, him and his partner, for the new EA Sports MMA game, which I believe is coming out really soon for your multiple video game platforms. And, of course, Mr. Heyman will accompany Mr. Lesnar to the ring against Cain Velasquez in, I believe it is 2 weeks? This 2 weeks from Saturday?
I believe so.
You know, which, by the way, who's going to get more buy rates that weekend, that or bragging rights? You know?
Poor events.
Yeah. And by the way, Nikki and I saw the workout for Brock Lesnar on UFC All Access. Holy cow. Just insane. But getting back to Paul, that sounds like he was real close.
Right. He has the stroke in the wrestling business to say, this is what I want to do, take it or leave it. And if it were Ring of Honor, if it were Dragon Gate, if it were pick your NWA or IWA, if he walked in and said, here's my plan, take it or leave it, they'd have jumped all over it. I'm not sure why TNA did not take this offer. I know why WWE wouldn't have taken it.
Yes, because Vince is a control freak.
Because it all has to be Vince's idea, and that's why when Paulie wrapped up his stuff after December the Disaster, he claims he did have one last handshake before he left. I really think that, you know, I really think that there was the last stand-up and maybe a thank you, and then he went and got in his car and left. So, and he has every right to walk away from this business. He's done so much for it, and it did give back to him, but when the whole house of cards came down with Vince purchasing the ECW brand and then trying to revive it. And I'm speaking mostly around 2006. The one-night stand, the original one-night stand, had to be done.
That one not so much, but it was still fun.
I'd even take the second one, but the first one had to be done. And Hardcore Justice will never hold a candle to one-night stand.
I agree. Hardcore Justice was good, but Hardcore Justice was like, you know what it reminded me of, and it was said in a few things. It was like seeing the rock band that you loved that on their 30th anniversary reunion tour. You know?
Yeah.
Some of the faces have changed, and some, you know, different play people are. Taking different parts, if you will. Yeah.
I mean,
But getting back, do you honestly think, just for shits and giggles, that Paul Heyman could be part of they in any sense of the imagination?
No.
Never say never, but highly unlikely.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Forth. I'm sorry.
I was just saying, I honestly don't think he is. At the moment, I don't really see him being involved with wrestling in that capacity, at least for now.
I think he sees that the money right now is in MMA. And he's got a cash cow in that 6'4", way in at 265, fights at 295, polar bear that is Brock Lesnar.
Mm-hmm.
That's money. That's all kind of crazy money right now. That he's never going to find that money anywhere in the wrestling business right now.
Absolutely.
And as long as Lesnar stays healthy and passes his test every time, you're right. It's seven-figure money.
Yeah. And he ain't gonna. He's not going to get that. He won't get it from Vince. He won't get it from Dixie.
He'll get it from Dana.
Yeah.
Oh,
and Dana will be more than happy to pay it.
I'm getting on off here for tonight. I am tired as hell.
Actually, that's probably not a bad idea. We need to wrap it up, guys.
All right.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a great wrestling weekend. Great week.
Yep.
And
we'll
talk soon.
Don't forget to listen to my show tomorrow, 2 p.m., WRCradio.com.
I'll certainly try, man, but I'm going to be running around trying to get down to this Hamilton show.
All right.
All right,
but
guys.
Hey
guys. Yep. Have a good night.
Night, guys.
Good night.
Good luck with the show tomorrow, Josh.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you for letting me on the show tonight. Thank you again.
Yep. Good night, you guys.
And Nicky, when you get a chance, email me which sounds off the soundboard you want.
Ooh, I'm going to have to pull it up and take a look at that.
Yeah, it's right on his profile on WWE.com. I can get them all if you wanted them all. So.
Sweet. I'll see you on that. Night.